Welcome to the Michigan District's Thought Leader Podcast. The focus of today's podcast is on unaddressed conflict. While most of us would prefer to ignore conflict and hope that it would go away, we all know that it rarely does. In fact, the longer the conflict is allowed to fester without being addressed, the more damage it does to our ministries. It is amazing, then, that most of us tend to choose a wait-and-see strategy when confronted with conflict. Today's podcast will tackle this difficult issue and provide steps to help be a proactive leader in addressing conflict.
Welcome. I'm Todd Jones, Mission Educator for the Michigan District. Thank you for joining me on this podcast as we talk about unaddressed conflict. Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst." I've often thought if those same two or three people are gathered for more than a few days, there's likely going to be some kind of conflict. Conflict may happen anytime people are trying to accomplish the same goal but have different strategies. It happens when expectations are not met. Often our experiences of conflict resolution from our childhood have a profound impact on our initial reaction and influence our response to conflict. Now, I do want to point out that conflict does have a positive role in ministry. We need a certain level of conflict to help challenge us to think deeper and love with greater commitment. As the book of Proverbs says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Conflict is an important component of healthy collaboration. However, when not addressed, conflict can consume our ministry and the energy from our church. Notice, too, that I did not say unresolved conflict. We spend too much of our effort on an organizational level trying to eliminate or resolve conflict. Most of the time, our efforts at resolving conflict actually contribute to its intensification. We unintentionally draw more people into the conflict in our efforts to resolve it. Additionally, our efforts to resolve conflict and minimize its impact on the church results in an unhealthy, passive-aggressive culture where we try to hold others accountable for our own happiness or we feel obligated for the happiness of others. This unhealthy dynamic results in leaders who are afraid to do anything because it may upset certain people. It results in leaders shuffling people around to try to avoid certain people from serving together because they don't get along and they may just fight. To be clear, there's no doubt that Jesus challenges us to resolve our conflict. However, his command is for us as individuals to resolve the conflict we have with one another. Engaging the church is described as the last step in the process. Most often, we as individuals fail to take responsibility for resolving conflict directly with the other person. We form coalitions, or we bide our time until we can address the conflict from the safety of a boardroom or a committee or a voters' assembly, or even for us as pastors from behind the pulpit. There is no clearer indicator of an ineffective leader than one who fails to address conflict. Leaders with a passion for reaching the lost with the gospel will experience conflict. Christ makes this abundantly clear when he said, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword," in Matthew 10:34. Take a look through the book of Acts, and you'll see that both Peter and Paul experienced a great deal of conflict from within the church. The issue of avoiding conflict is not the point. The point is, will you address conflict? While there are many books and articles written on the topic of conflict, we often fail in conflict resolution simply because we fail to address conflict. We fail to address conflict for a variety of reasons. Perhaps it's our past experiences. Likely we've tried addressing conflict at an early age and we had a horrible experience. Our past experiences often feed our imaginations as we think about possible responses that the other person might have to our conversation with them. Perhaps we fail to address conflict because we have unrealistic expectations. Most often, we expect the other person to get angry as a result of our conversation. We can't own the other person's emotions. They may respond in anger, and they may not. While we don't want to provoke them to anger, we should not let fear of their possible response keep us from being faithful. Equally unrealistic is the expectation that we'll get our way when we address the issue with the other person. The problem with this assumption is that it prevents us from being open to the other person's position. In a similar vein, sometimes we fail to address conflict because we have a win-lose mentality. When we approach conflict from a win-lose perspective, we automatically put the other person in the defense. Their fight or flight response will make it virtually impossible to have a successful conversation. In addition, rather than being focused on the issue at the heart of the conflict, we're focused on winning the battle. Too often, conflict persists long after its original source has been forgotten because of this win-lose attitude. And finally, perhaps pervasively in the church, there's a misplaced sense of false humility that is involved in delaying our response to conflict. You know, Paul said, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself." Often we think that in our spiritually mature state, we should just suffer in silence. The flaw in this thinking is clear. First, most of us can't suffer in silence. Eventually, we'll get so upset that we explode or we just walk away. Second, it may be that your contrarian point of view will help the discussion and help refine the mission and ministry of the church. So why should you be the one to address conflict? Well, simply put, Jesus tells you to do so, right? I mean, look at Luke 17:3. Jesus said, "So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them." Or Matthew 18:15. Jesus said, "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you, and if they listen to you, you have won them over." Or Matthew 5:25, Jesus said, "Settle matters quickly between your adversary who is taking you to court." Addressing conflict is what Jesus is calling us to do. It's part of our work as children of God. And as you think about addressing conflict, I would encourage you to use the framework that's built on the imagery of a stoplight. So the red light represents stop. There are two questions that need to be answered before you begin to address the conflict with the other individual. First, you need to ask the question and answer it, is this a sin issue? The majority of conflict in the church revolves around personal opinion and preference. Conflict around sin has a simple goal, confession and absolution. Conflict around opinion has a different goal, it's reaching an agreement. The challenge here is that our emotions can often make the issue seem like a sin issue. We can read into non-sinful actions sinful motives and thereby assume our conflict is a sin issue. This is where an objective third party can be helpful. Without divulging the name of the person and trying to avoid details that would indicate who this person is you're talking about, and without adding commentary that would bias their opinion, share the issue that you're bothered by and ask for their feedback. Do you see this as a sin issue? And there's a little hint here. If you have to determine sin by discerning the motives of the other individual, then it's probably not a sin issue. It's probably an issue with you and something that needs to be addressed in your heart. Now, the yellow light and green light steps below assume this is not a matter of sin. If it's a matter of sin, then, of course, you follow the similar steps, but with a goal of confession and absolution. Now, I said there were two questions in the red light area of this framework, and that second question is this: what are your motives? Sometimes people just rub us the wrong way. If your dislike of an individual or past dealings with a person contribute to your irritation in the situation, the person you need to confront is yourself. Jesus said, "If you cannot forgive the sins of others, your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins," in Matthew 6:15. One way to help discern your motives is to imagine your best friend in place of the individual with whom you have a complaint. Would you be just as angry or upset if it was your friend that had bothered you? Would your feelings be different? Now, once you have discerned your motives and recognize this is a matter of opinion and you need to go talk to this individual and work things out, then you come to the yellow light of this framework. Yellow light is waiting. It's not the same thing as stopping. Waiting, you're holding to go before you go talk to that individual to gather information, to get details about what it is that you're talking about. You want to get as much information as you can about the issue before you meet. You're not doing this so you can prove your point. You're doing this so you can better understand the issue and specifically the other person's perspective so that you can speak accurately and without bias. Be prepared to articulate your position in a non-threatening, non-judgmental way. And once you've achieved that clarity of thought, then go to the individual. And as you go meet with that individual, you have four things you want to accomplish. You want to clarify the issue of concern. You should be able to do so without threat, without bias, without accusation, in a non-judgmental way. Secondly, you want to clarify your expectations for the discussion. What is going to be the win outcome from the conversation? You want to ask questions and listen. And as you listen, seek common ground. Your goal certainly is to address the conflict, but it is also to win the brother or sister. And fourth, you want to be content if the other person has heard your concern. Don't be surprised if you don't change their mind, but at least they've heard you out, and hopefully you've come to an understanding. One follow-up tip, if you are the person bothered by the actions or plans of another, don't take a poll or survey and thereby get other people involved. If you're bothered, go to the one bothering you and seek to address the conflict directly. Your failure to address the conflict on a personal level threatens your faith. It harms your relationship with the congregation, and it hinders the mission and ministry of your congregation. I'm Todd Jones, and this has been the Michigan District Thought Leaders Podcast on Unaddressed Conflict.